We begin the Perek Asir, the 10th chapter in the Masechta Shabbos in the Sefer Zman, Book of Designated Times, which we continue the theme of the previous Perakim discussing the Lamed as Malachas. Specifically in this Perek, we discuss from the Malacha of Keshira, of tying, up until the Malacha of Tzedah, of trapping. As Rambam gives a Lachal regarding the Malacha of tying and of untying. HaKeshir Keshir Shel Kayama. If someone ties a knot that will last, and it's a professional, a craftsman type of a knot, Chayim is liable. For example, Kesha Gabalan, like what the camel riders tie their knots for Kesha Hasapanin, or the knots that the sailors make, or the Kesha Ritsuis middle basandal, or the knots of the straps of shoes and sandals, Shakeshan Haratzonin, Bashas Hasiosin, that the shoemakers make when they're making the shoes. It was anything similar like this, which is it's to last forever, and it's a professional knot. Aval, but if someone even does a permanent knot, but it's not a professional knot, Pater is going to be exempt. And Mekesha She'inah Shal Kiyama, if someone makes a knot that's not permanent, and Me'inah Ma'isa Uman, and it's not a professional knot, Mutfil Kashla Kachil, then the person is initially allowed to make such a knot on Shabbos. Halacha Beis Ketzad, regarding the case, what's called a permanent knot, but it's not Ma'isa Uman, it's not professional, which we said that one would be Pater in such a case. So Nifsik Alei Ritzua, if someone has a strap that tore, Ukshara, and he ties it, or Nifsik Achevel Ukshara, or if someone has a rope that tore and he ties it. Or he ties a rope onto a bucket. Or he ties on the bridle of the animal, which all these things, the norm is not to untie them. He wants it to stay forever. But the knot that's being made is not a maestro woman, it's not a professional knot. These are all considered kesher shel kayama, but not maestro woman, and he's going to be exempt. So to anything that's similar to these knots, which a regular person could do it. But everyone who does it ties it that it should remain forever. Now, if it's a knot that's not meant to last, but you're tying a professional knot, here's also, well, that's going to be forbidden. That's not going to be liable, but it's going to be forbidden. Halacha Gimel. Kesheres Isha, a woman could tie maftachei hachalak, the openings of her blouse, afa pishesh leishnei besachim, even though it has two openings. Which is that the way it's done is tied the opening of the blouse from the right side to the left shoulder and from the left side on the right shoulder. So even though she could just open up one of them and pull it off, but the norm is to untie them both, and therefore it's not a problem about tying both of them because it's not shel kayama. Even though in all these cases that you really wouldn't have to open it, but since it is, it's not considered shel kayama. So to b'chuti svacha, The strings of the netting that's worn on one's head, even though it's loose on her head, and she could pull it off without untying the knot at all, still she's allowed to make that knot because a woman wouldn't want to ruin her hair, and she would untie it before she takes it off. So to Ritzu is minimal basandal. The straps of a shoe or a sandal, shakashin leisna la regel b'shas malbush, that you tie it onto the foot when you're wearing it, where these are not meant to last forever, and they're not professional, they would be permitted. So the benoy desiyan b'shemen, flasks of wine and of oil, af b'shish l'shteos naim, even though it has two ears that you could take out the wine by just untying one of them, you don't say, oh, that you're going to leave the second one tied forever. No, they untie them, and therefore it's not considered kesher shakiyama. Or g'deir shel basar, a pot of meat, af b'shish l'itza basar b'loitatzai kesher, even though you can take out the meat without untying the knot, you're allowed to make the knot because, again, it's not meant to last. Bekoshin delib b'mashicha, you could tie on a bucket onto a string. That's a thin string of linen or things like that, or in a belt, or kizbar, similar types of things. Anything that you're not going to be mavatlit, you're just going to untie it after you utilize it. Avalei b'chevel, but not with a rope, because a rope would be meant to stay. And bekoshin lefnei behema, you could tie in front of an animal, or on the leg of the animal, b'shvil shalei tesa, that it shouldn't leave. Ava b'yishesh l'shnei yisavis, even though it has two knots. Again, because you intend to undo it. And the rope that was tied onto the cow, we're not concerned that maybe you're going to leave it the second knot to remain there forever. You could tie it onto the trough where it's where the animal eats from. It was tied onto the trough. You could tie the other end onto the cow. But you cannot bring a rope from your house and then to tie on to both. We're talking about it was tied onto one of them. So then we're not concerned that you're going to leave the second one tied. You're going to undo that. But you can't tie onto both the cow and onto the trough. We're there. we're concerned that maybe one of the knots you will leave. It's just when you have one, you're not gonna get the cow tied to the trough forever. So the one knot that was already there, you could do the second one, but not to do both. Vimhoyam chevel gardi. Now, if it was a weaver's rope, shemutl tatle, which you allowed to move it, so there's no problem about mukta. He's maybe b'kesha b'parav avis that you could tie onto both the cow and to the trough. Neshakol elikshum, because all these types of knots, ma'ase hedirim, they're regular people make it. And be'inishon kayama, it's not meant to last, because here also the weaver's rope, you're not going to leave it there because he needs it for his job, so he's not going to leave it on either one of them. And all these cases we spoke about, elapam kesha pamata, at times he ties it, times he unties it. Lefikach mutter likshu oisim leketchila, there are all these cases you're allowed to initially tie them on initially, because again, it was by a regular person, and it's not meant to last. Chesala is shal tamogah mishal gregris, which are baskets made out of palm fronds, palm branches, that are meant to hold for dates or the dried figs. So matir, you could undo it by hand if, let's say, the covering was tied on with a rope. Umafkia, and you could undo the chains of the rope with a tool. Ubechetech, or you could cut it with a vessel. And benoit v'eichel, you could take it and you could eat it. Again, because these are not, these are things that are not violating the malacha of being matir, the kesher. Halacha dal kosher oil lemachal behema. Whatever is fit for animal food, you're allowed to tie it on as for something to not with on Shabbos. The figure therefore, if let's say the strap of a sandal got torn in the Carmelis, in the rabbinically forbidden area to carry, so you take the soft reed that's fit for animal food, and you wrap it around it, and then you tie the reed. Let's say it didn't tear, but it slipped out. The strap of a shoe and the sandal. Or most of his foot slipped out. You're allowed to put the strap back into their place, which their shoes used to be made from different parts, and they would connect it through a strap. They would connect it, and they would widen it according to how they wanted it. Now, when some of the shoe slips out from most of the foot, you let it put it back through these straps, as long as you don't tie it. Halacha hey, haniva, making a bow, a loop, muteris is permitted, because that's not going to get confused with making a knot. If you have a rope that tears, what you do is you connect the two ends, and you wrap around it a cord, and you make a loop, and that's how you connect it. One is permitted to make a knot if it's not meant to last, if it's for a mitzvah purpose. For example, that someone is tying to measure shir mishir atera, a measurement from the Torah measurements, that things that have a specific measurement for a mitzvah. Now, nimis kinush nifsik, if the string of a harp tore, you're allowed to tie it, because these are things that are preparatory things for the karbanos, which needed the songs of the Levim, which override Shabbos. But not out of the base of Mikdash. And but one should not initially tie on the string, even the base of Mikdash, if it tore from before Shabbos, because any hechsher mitzvah that you can do from before Shabbos is not teicha Shabbos. Halacha zayin. Kol kasher shechayavin al kishuri, any knot that one is liable for making, it's not. Kachayavin al teres, and it would be that you're liable for undoing that knot. And any knot that someone makes it, he's exempt. So that you untie that, you're exempt. Any knot that you're even permitted to make, so that it's permitted to undo that knot. If someone is stringing rope from the palm branches, which is some type of a long grass sprout, or from the threads of wool, or from linen threads, or hair threads, okay, it's been similar types of things. That making, that threading it together is knotting it, keeping it together, and one would be liable. Mishiur and his measurement is, that the rope will stay in the way you threaded it without tying them together. Shnimtzes malachim eskemes, comes out that you the work that you did is going to last. So if someone separates the string, so that's undoing, that's a derivative of undoing the knot, and he's going to be liable. But as long as shleis gam lekalk b'vav, as long as he wasn't intending to just be destructive, because then one is not liable. B'shur, and this measurement is gesher apaisel, like the same measurement of making the thread is the same thing of undoing it, which is a derivative of that of Matar. Halacha test with the next malacha, Teifer, regarding stitching. So if someone stitches shtei tefiros, two stitches, chayiv is liable. That what does that mean to say? That he ties the edges of the threads from either side. So that whatever stitching was done, it will remain and not come out. So it's not enough just to do the two stitches, take that needle and put it in and stitch once and stitch twice. No, you also then have to tie the edge of the thread that doesn't come undone. Avol. But, im tafa yes, al shtei tefiros, but if you do at least one more stitch than two stitches, even if he didn't tie it, then the stitching will remain once you have more than two. Now, someone just pulls taut a thread of the stitching on Shabbos, that itself is a liability, because that's from necessities of stitching to pull that loose thread and tighten it. With the next malach of hakireya, someone tears. The measurement of tearing, the amount that he would be able to stitch over there, two stitches. And it's also a manaslit for shtei tefiros. It's within the intention of stitching two stitchings, so that makes it a constructive act, ultimately. Chayav is going to be liable, because avol karei lafsid, if someone tears to create a loss, to destroy, lempate is exempt, nishu mekalko, because that's a destructive act. However, a karei b'chamas, if someone tears out of his anger, or for someone, a dead person, there's an obligation to tear his garment for that person, which is called kriya, chayiv is going to be liable. Because he actually is able to focus his thoughts with this. And it calms down his inclination, calms it down when he tears something out of his anger or from his grief, it's a constructive act for kriya. So therefore, since his anger calms down from this thing, harikim misakin is like a constructive act actually, but chayiv is going to be liable. And also, although that's tearing, but if someone opens up in the garment a neckline by tearing open in the middle of the garment, so now you can put it on Shabbos, chayiv is going to be liable also because that's considered as a constructive act. If someone connects papers or hides pieces of leather, with a glue that's made from flour that describes use. Okay, it's about similar types of things. Or is it teledus teifer v'chayiv? That's a derivative of teifer because that's stitching that connects things and it's going to be liable. And v'chein sotam aforek niyaris tibukin. Oy oyris tibukin. If someone disconnects attached papers or attached pieces of leather, b'loin niskab m'lekalka b'dobah and b'lvad, and his intention was not just to be destructive, or is it teledus kareya v'chayiv? So that's a derivative of kareya, of tearing, and is going to be liable. Halachid beis continue with the next malach of habayin. If someone builds, calls for even a minute amount, chayiv is going to be liable. So to hamashava pnei hakarka b'bayis, if someone smooths out the floor of the ground in the house, for example, shehishbol tail, he lowers down a mound that was there, or mile guma, or he fills up a pit or a valley. That's considered building, and he's gonna be liable. Echad nasa nesa eben. Now let's say someone puts down the stone. Echad nasa nesa tit. Someone puts down the mortar, where the stone would not remain without the mortar, and therefore the putting the mortar is primary. The one that puts down the mortar is going to be liable for building. Now, however, but the upper row of a wall, even if someone puts on the stone and he puts on top of the mortar, he's going to be liable because you don't put any mortar on top of the top bricks, so he'll be liable. If someone builds on top of vessels, pot is exempt because that's not considered the way the Mishkan was done, that there was no building on top of vessels. If someone makes a permanent tent, that's a derivative of building and is going to be liable. If someone makes earthenware vessel, for example, tanner, oven, b'chabes, and a barrel, even before it's burnt in the kiln to make it strong, it's going to be a derivative of building and is going to be liable. Even someone just makes cheese, it's a derivative of building, you're making a solid item, but he's not going to be liable until he makes cheese the size of a dried fig. In contrast to Bainu, which we said even minute amounts are significant, here when there's a food item, it has to be the shear of food, which is that of a Gregor's. If someone puts in the handle of an axe, but inside its wooden handle, here's a teled is bain, that's a derivative of a building. Anything something like that is creating something. If someone sticks in one wood into another piece of wood, whether he sticks it in by with a nail, or whether he sticks it into the wood itself, until it becomes one, here's a teled is bain, that's a derivative of a building and is going to be liable. It's a neck of kolshu. Someone makes a hole, even a minute amount, but lushal tan the gun by a chicken coop, kedesh the kanzel ma'ayder, so the light should go in. Chayim mishum bain is liable for building because it's what makes important for the structure. Hamachzu Dela Shel Boir. If someone puts back the door of a well, of a Shaldos, of a cistern, of a Shalitzi, over an addition of a house, Chai Mishim Boina is liable for building, because since these are structures on the ground, the putting back the door is considered like building also. Halachat Zvav, the flip side of that, is the next malach, HaSeiser. If someone demolishes, culture, even my new demand, Chai is liable. For that is Yistam and Aslibdas, again, that's only the destroying under the intention of rebuilding. If he's demolishing in a destructive way, we'll put that in his example. HaSeiser El Kabu, if someone takes apart a permanent tent, or he undoes a wood that was stuck in, there's a taled, that's a bit of undoing, of demolishing, is going to be liable. Who again, she's coming the second, as long as intent is to remedy, to fix. Look at the design with the next malacha, of hamake bepatish. If someone hits with the hammer, achas, one hit, which is a different interpretation of what exactly that means, but when the finishing of an item, they would hit with the hammer, one hit, chayv is going to be liable. And so the b'chala isa davashu gma malacha, anyone that does something which finishes the work, or is it taled, is makabe patish, b'chayv, that's a derivative of this malacha of hitting with the hammer, and he's going to be liable. Kitzar haso, hamanapech beklis chuches. If someone blows into a glass vessel, which is that's how they blow glass. Or about sar beklis tzura, or if someone creates an image on a vessel, or afil mikzat tzura, even part of the image, or a garid culture, if someone scrapes out a minute amount, the neck of a culture and he makes a hole, even minute amount, whether it's in wood, whether it's in metal, whether it's in a structure, whether it's in a vessel, or is it toledes makabepatra, this is finishing off the item, and therefore v'chayv is going to be liable. Now, b'chol pesach, any opening, she'in osl hachnas loitzi, that's not made that it could come in and out through the hole, through that opening, in chayv and al tziyasi, that would not be a liability for making as makabepatra, as finishing, although possibly one would be liable for the malacha of b'ina. Halach yitzayin, Hamefis shchin b'Shabbos. Some pops a blister on Shabbos. Now, if he does a kedei laharcha piyamaka to widen the opening of the wound, kedei sharif and in the way the doctors do it, shemis gavim b'refuah, that they intend with their treatment laharcha piyamaka to widen the opening of the wound, harizachay m'shemakim patish, that's liable for the finishing touch, which is healing the wound, is like fixing something, it's the finishing of it. Shazuhim lechas sharif, that's the work of a doctor. But if he's, let's say, popping it just that it should ooze out from it of the moisture that's inside, here's the mutter that's permitted, because in situations of pain and illness, it's not for the primary idea, it's just for something secondary, which is to let the pus out. If someone chisels the stone, even a minute amount, that's liable for finishing touches on making the stone. If someone turns around, he turns it, the stone in the foundation of the structure, and he fixes it with his hand, and he puts it in the place where it's appropriate to it, that's liable for putting the finishing touches on the structure. Someone plucks out these different strands that are on his garment with his hand, like you have these pieces of straw that are woven into a garment in a wool vessel, liable for the finishing touches. That is a yakbal, and if he's particular about it, he won't wear it until he removes it. So that's like, it's ready now, it's just finished. But let's say he removes it just absent-mindedly, here's the part that he's going to be exempt. Hamnar talis chadasha shchayre. If someone shakes out a new black garment, to make it nice by shaking it out, and to remove the white wool that's hanging in it, the way the craftsmen do it, that's makom patish, finishing it. They made a mak, but if it's not particularly mutter, then it's actually permitted. He's not doing anything when he's doing that. Halachit test around the next malach of hatsad. If someone traps, a type of species that the norm is to trap, but chayv is liable. For example, chayv, if it's with dog and wild animals, birds and fish, these are types of species that the norm is to trap them. That's only if he traps them to a place. That the place that we trap them to is not lacking for the trapping. How so? For example, he's running after a deer. That he gets it to run into a house. Into a garden, into a courtyard. But he locks the door in front of it. Or he makes the bird fly away until it enters into a closet. But he closes in front of it. Or he scoops out fish from the sea, but takes sevel shalmayim into a bucket of water. Here's a chayim. All these cases can be liable because now it's ready. It's there. It doesn't need further trapping. But if, let's say, he chases the bird and the flies into a house, and he closed the door in front of that bird, or he chases a fish and it jumps out from the sea into a pool of water, or he runs after a deer until it runs into a huge mansion, but number one, he locks the door in front of it. In all these cases, Harei Zepot is going to be exempt. Why? There's not a full-fledged trapping, because Shem Yovel Kachtav is going to now take the chaya, the oif, or the dog. He still has to run after it, and take it from the pool, and take it from the house, or take it from the large area. The figure of if someone traps a lion, in the until it enters into its cage, which locked up in that. Because anywhere else, no matter if it's somewhere, even a smaller area, he still has to trap it again. Come welcome any place, where if he would run over there, he would reach to the wild animal in one jump. Or the walls were so near each other that the shadows of the walls, they overlap each other in the middle. That's considered a small place. And therefore, if he chases the deer into that type of area or similar types of animals inside, chayv is reliable. But an area that's bigger than this, if someone chases the wild animal, the bird, inside of it, it's going to be exempt, because again, that's not considered really trap, because he still has to trap it again. Whether we're talking about the eight types of shratzim that I mentioned in the Torah, specifically around the tumah that they have, or any other types of vermin or curly creeper creatures, Sheish Lamin and say that in their species there's a concept of trapping. If someone traps any one of them, whether for a need or even not for a need, or the sachmem just to play around with them, chayiv is going to be liable, because chayiv neskaven lotsa, but since his intent was to trap it and he trapped it. Because even though this is a malacha, if let's say he's doing it shalot tzarich, that's not for the trapping, he needs it for something else, chayvela, one is liable for, even if he doesn't need it for it itself, because ultimately he's doing the malacha of trapping. Hatzada sayashin, even if he traps a sleeping animal, but it's similar, if it's blind, chayv is going to be liable because the animal senses when the person's coming, even if it's sleeping or if it's blind, and therefore by capturing it, you are actually trapping it. Someone sends dogs that they should trap deer, or rabbits, or similar types of creatures. Now the deer is running away from in front of the dog. And this person on Shabbos was running after the deer, or he stood in front of the deer, and it confused the deer, that it gave the dog opportunity to come and grab and capture the deer. That person did a derivative of the malach of trapping, but he's going to be liable. So whoever does similar types of things to birds, that person will be liable for the malach of tzad. Halacha of chav gimel. Tzvi shenichnas labayis. If a deer goes into a house, one inside, but nochel echad b'fanav. Now one person locks the door, closes the door in front of the deer. Chayv is liable for trapping the deer. Nelushnam. Let's say two people go and close the door. Two of them, they're going to be exempt, because any malach that can be done by one person, and two people do it together, is exempt. As we said in the first parak in Hilchos Shabbos. Now, if one person cannot close the door, you needed two people to close the door, and they do, they can be liable, because that's the way the malacha would normally be done. Let's say Yashav Echad ala Pesach. Let's say one person sat there and by the opening. He didn't fill up the opening. Now a second person sits there, and he fills up the opening. Now the deer can't get out. The second one's going to be liable, because he's blocking the opening. Yashav Rishon Malohu. Let's say one person sits down, and he fills up the area. Now the second person sits down on the side of him. Even if the first person got up and he left, the first one's going to be liable, and the second one hasn't done anything. He's allowed to sit there in his place up until the evening, even though now he's technically blocking the deer. What can you compare this to? When someone closes his house to just protect the house, and he does not know there's a deer inside of it. Comes out, incidentally, that a deer is now protected inside of it, he hasn't done anything, because he wasn't doing an act of trapping. Here also, the first one already trapped it by sitting there, now when the second one sits there, he's not trapping. So to nichnas alitzi b'tachas kanafav, let's say a deer enters under a person's corner of his garment, he's allowed to sit there and watch it until it gets dark, and then it's permitted, he's not doing any act of trapping. If someone traps a deer that's zaken, that's elderly, a chigur, or lame, a chayla, or sick, or cotton, or small, pata, then he's going to be exempt, because they're considered like they're trapped, and you didn't really do any act of trapping, but rabbinically it would be forbidden. Hanafark Bem, if someone lets an animal go, or chai, or wild animal, or a bird, from a trap, Pata is going to be exempt, which the chiddush is that, yeah, but initially it's forbidden because wild animals are mukta. Hatzad chai va'if shabashusa, if someone traps a wild animal, a bird that's in his domain, for example, avaz and ducks, but tadagol and the chickens, but yoin ali and the doves from the upper story, Pata is exempt. Hatzad dovish ainu b'minei tzid, if someone traps something that in its species you don't usually trap, like locust or hagazin, which are a type of bees, or tsroin, hornets, veitushin, and mosquitoes, and farushin, and fleas. Okay, it's some types of things. The reason the pot is going to be exempt, because again, that's not the type of thing that usually is a species that one traps. Halacha chaf hey, remosin hamazikin. The crawling creatures that are damagers. For example, nechashim, snakes, vakrabin, and scorpions, and kidsmen, and similar types of things. Even though they don't kill, but since they bite, mutul lotzer oisim b'shabbos, you're allowed to go and trap them on Shabbos. Who, as long as she's kamalei nosim and nechashim, his intent is to save from their bite. Ketzer oisim, what does he do? Kleifa kli aleim, he covers a vessel over it, oimakav aleim, or he surrounds on top of it, or he ties them, conditionally, that they should not damage, that would be permitted and would not be a violation of halacha.